this word agreement hasn't been brought out in the church enough. And I know that we understand it in our brains, but this goes far deeper than that, this word. The power of agreement that brings God's blessing on his people. The first agreement all of us need to make would be this agreement. I have to turn it on. Apologize. There it is. It's that one. What was that? No? Yes? There it is. There it is. The first agreement. And I think this is a no-brainer, but it's not a no-brainer. Agreeing with God to work on our salvation. And in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, God's talking to the people. You can look at it. In Amos chapter 3, verse 1, he's talking to his people. And in this one, he gives a question. He gives a few of them, but this one I wanted to bring out. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Everybody? Do two walk together unless everybody, what do you think? It's a rhetorical. You can't walk together. If I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me. And God is saying that to us. We can't walk together unless you agree to do so. Can't do it. So, in the New Testament, I'm trying to find it, and it is. In Philippians. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, this is our part. God's part, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In order for the first one to work, you have to agree with God that it's his power to do it inside of you. If you don't do that, that won't work. You can't work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to have God's power to do it through you. And there has to be an agreement. The thing is that there's a positional, that everything has been given to us in Christ. And there's an experiential, that it's not with us yet. And so what has to come into play here is an agreement of faith. We have to agree with God. In order for it to come, and this is a very important principle, because you can't walk with God if you don't do it. It's impossible. Nobody can. Impossible to walk with the Lord. And so when you and I are walking together, especially with my wife and me, there's someone leading, there's somebody following. You can't have two people leading and you can't have two people following, even when we're friends. If somebody's in charge of the picnic today, somebody's leading, everyone's following. There can't be a bunch of people leading because it gets confusing. Am I right? There has to be leading and following. The same way with God. If you start leading and God is following, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. And that's usually what happens in our Christian walk. God is following and we're leading. Well, this is what God wants. We must agree to submit to his leading so that we can follow him wherever he goes, even if it hurts. Okay, listen to this. Is this easy? Submit, all these words are so easy. Submit, agree, whatever you want to put when you're trying to deal with God. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus was on the earth and he was going up to heaven, he gave Peter a challenge. And this is what is his challenge. And it's in line with what I'm trying to say. Here it is. John 28:18. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And it starts here. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, Peter, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. Sounds like all of us, eh? When you're younger, you can do what you want, right? But when you're old, and this is where we really get mature in the faith, when we start to agree with God. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands almost like help, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. This is maturity. When you come into the struggle in your prayer life where you want to agree and you do not want to do it, this is real faith. It's easy to do what you want to do, but when God asks you to do something that you do not want to do, that's where it becomes a wrestling match like Jacob. Everybody following me? This is not easy. This is really difficult. And where do you see it in the Bible with Jesus? In Gethsemane. And you see where he is a man and he is God. But he's not God in Gethsemane. He is God, but he's not God. He's showing us how to really wrestle with God, with our will. And our will and his will has to come in agreement. And so he's wrestling and he's showing us all how to do it. But this is not just like he's showing you. This is his heart-wrenching time with him to go on a cross. So he goes, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And this is where the struggle is. This is where God is bringing every human being in our place and everywhere, if you're a believer, bringing you to this. That struggle to agree, his will be done, yours is gone. Oh, and that's difficult. How many people would say amen? And right into this, to this day, even as me, myself, I'm going through things where God is asking me to surrender my will for his will, and could I agree with him? And there's a struggle going on. And that's almost every day from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And the best way I can really illustrate this is that his will is a vertical, right? And our will is horizontal. And when it meets at the cross. And our will dies and he does his will. This is very important. Christianity is not a watered down thing. When people use the emotion, it is an act of the will where you agree with God. And it goes through, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what he wants from us all. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer, then he's going to work with you. But when you're a believer, this is it. Because Jesus showed us what to do. Now, this is difficult. I'm preaching it, and I'm just saying, so hard, man. Let me say, amen? Difficult. And that's what, and lead you where you do not want to go. Here's the battle. Here's the battle. Tell me, everybody, if you got this battle in your life. Here it is. This is the battle. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict. Right now, there's a conflict going in inside of you. If you're walking with God, right now, a conflict, always a conflict. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not what? You not do what you want. Never understood that. Now I do. The flesh does not want to do what God wants. It wants to just draw upon the flesh. It wants to feed off the flesh. How fast it is when you get two people and one person is talking about another person and you're listening, how fast in yourself you want to jump in. The flesh. Or how fast you want to correct somebody. The flesh. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to correct, but I'm telling you there's this thing where you're trying to fix people. The flesh. It's really deadly because I'm married and I do it. You know how many times I say sorry? Hey, you haven't seen it yet. I'm hiding.
You're in my house now.
He's living with me. No, I'm not hiding. No, trust me, I'm not hiding. What you see is you're going to get, man. But this is important. And right now, right here today, I'm telling you the truth, that when you're sitting down listening to a preacher, there is one of the most hideous things of the flesh that pops up, and it's called pride. Who are you to tell me? I do that. I sit there. I listen to it when I was on my holidays, and I know my Bible. Who do you think you are telling me? And you know what? That's the flesh. Because that's his word. And God can speak through a little kid. He can speak through anybody. And when he does speak, and you're in that kind of state, what a rebellious state. Is anybody following me? Am I here out on a branch all by myself? This is very, you know, this is conflict is really heavy. Trust me. And it's here. And some people would have you say that there's no sinful nature. No way, man. I asked my friend Harvey, who went to heaven, I said, do you still struggle with the sinful nature? He says, what do you think? He says, I still put my pants on. It'll be always with us until we go to heaven. That's why we're going to die, because we shed it and we go. It's gone. It's left behind. That's why there's death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that's why we go. There's no sinful. I don't even know what that's going to be like. Having no sinful nature, no obstruction to God, nothing. No flesh, no nothing. Gone. What's that going to be like? I can't wait. Honestly, I just can't wait. But here is what God really wants. There are people in the Bible who have really went God's way, and it looks like they haven't. You believe that? You know, I'm telling you, when you look at David, you think he really messed up. How would you like to have your name in the Bible and everybody read it, and he did what he did? Adultery? Murder? Lying? And he did that, and it's all in your Bible. Let's say he put you in a Bible, and you did all that stuff, and everybody's reading it. I wouldn't want that. But David was such a servant of God. He is the only guy in the scriptures that had a heart like what I'm talking about, where he did something when he didn't want to do it. He did it for God. And you know why I know that? Because God said so. Now listen, before I put this on the screen, remember, David did it all back in Psalm 51, right? So it's in the Old Testament. So now when you read anything in the New, then God is giving commendation to David now of all what happened. Am I right? Watch this. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man. And he's not saying this in the Old Testament now. He's saying it now in the New Covenant. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And this is what everybody doesn't read this. And this is what you have to read. He will do everything I want him to do. Wow. Don't you say wow? Say wow. After all what he did, man. And God gives him a high comp. That's why God doesn't really care about your sin. He only cares about your heart. Is it wholeheartedly devoted to him, and he'll take care of your sin? He'll deal with it. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. I can't even believe that he said that about David. That's hope for me, hope for you. He looks at our heart. He looks at your heart. He looks at everybody's heart. He doesn't look at your actions. He deals with your actions, but your heart is what he's looking at. And that's what he wants. He wants your heart. I think you said it. Somebody said it. They stood up here, and you know what? That's what prayer is, really. I really believe that. Prayer is not getting things. Prayer is getting your heart changed. It's changing it into the image of Christ. It changes your heart. So beautiful, man, when I see things like that. So wonderful. So listen to this. I was just thinking of it on the toilet. I get some of my heavy thoughts on the toilet. So what was happening? Here, listen to this on David. So what was happening on the inside? So what is happening on the inside with the Spirit is more important than what is happening on the outside with people. Listen to that. So what is happening on the inside with the Spirit is more important than what is happening on the outside with people. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Because a lot of us, including me as a preacher, do this. We focus more on the outside and what people are doing rather than what the Spirit is doing on the inside, and we walk by sight and not by faith. Are you hearing me? And that's why we are defeated. Because God never intended in where we live to walk by sight. He intended us to walk by faith. And the minute that we start to focus on the outside, we're defeated. When we focus on the inside, the Spirit of God that lives in us, we have victory. That's where our power is. And that's what God's trying to get to us, to look at the Spirit so that the Spirit can do it through us. Because when we start to have a habit or a form a habit of living by the Spirit, these words Paul thought were just natural that you were going to follow it. He really did. He thought it was just going to be natural that you were going to follow it. Am I correct? I know you're going, yes, John. I know it because this is what we talk. This is really true. This is something where we're so far away from our Christian faith that we really, you know, miss it. That it's just a natural thing to live by the Spirit. And this is what's wrong. We're not living by the Spirit, so we gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And we're all freaked out. And if you think that if you're worried or you're full of fear or you've got any kind of problem like that, the reason is because you're not living by the Spirit. And the Spirit, it's a natural thing because if he lives in you, all you have to do is look to him and he rises up. If he's in you. That's why Paul kept on in Romans. If. Because he didn't know who had the Spirit. But if you have the Spirit, you have a power in you that's unbelievable. But all you have to do is like a light switch, just look to him. Look to him. And he just rises up. But we look to the outside. We look to people who hurt us. I'm not joking. If somebody hurts me today, I am constantly on my thoughts on that person who's hurt me instead of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the only one who can give you power to overcome that. You can't. So if you look at it, you're in more bondage. Is anybody following me? It's a trap. It's a trap to look at yourself. That's why worship is so beautiful, so wonderful. Because when you worship, you're looking at him, at the Spirit, and he starts to flow. And you have victory. You could feel it. But when you're caught up in yourself, it's like you're in a pit and you can't get out. There's no way out. How many people have been there? I've been there. It's really deadly. Really deadly. Matter of fact, it's so deadly it could destroy your faith. But God, he's just trying to help us. He really is. Be in agreement with the Spirit, please. This is a natural way of life for the Spirit, for the Christian. Everybody. I don't even know why we're so far away from Christianity. Is anybody with me? I'm now starting to, you know, really understand that I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, you know what I'm thinking? I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what is church all about? What, saying a few songs and listening to me? Are you kidding? Is that a joke? You know what church is about? Presence of the Lord. That God's presence is here. That we all start to pray that God would manifest his presence. When his presence is here, it no longer becomes something natural. It's supernatural. And boy, do we ever need the presence of the Lord again. We don't need people. We need him. We don't need people's work. We need God's work. I'm so desperate, it's not funny. On Wednesday night when we have our prayer meeting, we really need God to work so that people can be delivered, really healed by the Spirit's power, not by man. That's why it's just vanity for me now if I don't have the Spirit of God. He has to come. I have to agree with him. If he tells me, and the biggest thing is, if he tells me I've sinned against him, I have to confess it immediately. No more games for me. I don't know where anybody is in this place, but no more games. Because the minute I don't confess, I block the Spirit for the church. For the church. For the church. I hurt people. Somebody could get healed and we block it. This is not a game for anybody in this room. If we're all believers, we all are interconnected. The minute that you block the Spirit, it could be to help me. And then you block it and he doesn't help me. Do you follow what I'm saying? We're interconnected. That's why agreeing is so important. It's not just you. You're not just an individual. You're with the body. May God all help us all. Listen to this. You know what? I don't know. You guys might not. I read some old stuff, and that's okay, but I just like it better because I just don't feel like there's candy floss. I just like reading older people. And this guy, his name is John Owen. He's a 7th century theologian. And he warns me. He says, a minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees is in secret before God Almighty, that is, that he is and no more. To discover the real you, look at what you spend time thinking about when no one is looking. When nothing is forcing you to think about anything in particular, at such moments do your thoughts go toward God? You may want to be seen as a humble, unassuming person, but do you take the initiative to confess your sins before God? This is why it is so important now that I back off in Wednesday night prayer meeting and this, that I can hear the Lord warning me, you need to step back and let my Spirit do the work now. I need to convict the people. It's the only way. And it lasts. There's a change. There has got to be a real, out of the depths of your heart, I cry to you. Psalm 131. There has to be a real cry. Nobody in this room, and including me, is not like Jesus. We're so far away from Jesus, it's not funny. If Jesus would show up today, we would all be on our faces. Every one of us. Every one of us would be on our faces. Would you believe that? And this is church. Because God wants you to compare yourself to him. And that will be conviction. And conviction will be confession. And you will change. Listen, I'm going to tell you. This is what it means, confession. In the Vine's Expository Dictionary. I had to get it because I don't have this kind of stuff in my brain. And please forgive me. I don't know how to say these Greek words, so I'll try, okay? Just bear with me, okay? It goes like this. This is the Greek word for confession. Homologio. Homologio. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Okay? But it says this. To speak the same thing. To say the same thing. To assent, to accord. To agree with. To confess, declare, admit. To confess by way of admitting oneself guilty of one is accused of. The result of inward conviction. To declare openly by way of speaking out freely. Such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts by God. You know what it means? It means confession is when God says, you've sinned against me. And you go, I agree with you. That's confession. I agree with you. No words. I agree with you. No excuses. I agree with you. I agree with you, Lord. And everybody knows this one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know what I never really realized about this verse? I don't think you did. This is a sanctification verse. This is not just a cleansing verse. Confession does not just forgive you. Confession purifies you. That's what it says. Purify us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just forgive us. He cleanses us. He purifies us. I never knew that. That's why confession is so powerful. If it's from the depths of your being, if it's from the Spirit of God convicting you, not from a human being, but if it's from God convicting you, saying, you've sinned against me. And if God is saying, if I'm saying it, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But if it's from God, at any point in the message, and you feel that it's from the Lord, and you confess that, you do that, you just confess that, what He's convicted you on, there is purification for you. Not just forgiveness, purification. You get set free from that sin. It's got to be the depth of your being. Anybody, is everybody following me? This is something where revival, if you read the books on revival, you gave me that book, Jonathan Goforth. All through that book I was reading, and everything, every revival that came was confession from the depth of their hearts. That's when the Spirit of God comes and He starts to really let her fly. You are a sinner. You've sinned against me. You've talked about people. You've talked about people behind my back in secret. And then He starts to move. And you should see what it is in revival. I've never seen it. I want to see it. Do you want to see a revival? You want to see what God can do, man? Not what man. Like, you know, when you see some ministries, and I don't mean to knock some ministries, but there's some ministries out there that's so fleshly, and it's so, they think, if you think it's the Spirit, it's all these kind of miracles and all these tongues. It's just the flesh. It's just man's work, and it screws people up because they don't know the difference now. What is the Spirit? But the Spirit, when it is the Spirit, man is not involved. You hearing me? There's nobody in the limelight. It's Jesus, the Christ. That's the Spirit. That's revival. That's what I'm going for, I'm praying for. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. That's what I'm looking for. Do you believe it can happen? It can happen again. It happened in many revivals. And you know what Sundar said to me, and my pastor, he used to tell me, it's like this. God goes like this in His foot. Bam, 1600. Bam, 1800. And then we might be near His foot stepping down again. Revival. Where people really are converted. Soundly converted. Are you hearing me? Really converted. Where the real power of the Spirit comes and people are healed. Really healed. Then you see that kind of stuff. You want to see that? I'm craving for it. I am. I'm praying for it now. I know there's people here that are with me, are praying with me now for it. Because you know you feel helpless right now in your spiritual life. You're empty and you're going for it. And God's going to come to us. He's going to come to us. He really will. And we have to agree. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Amen? We need you. Or you'll stay in your sin, whatever that is. But we need Him. We need Him. Agree, agree. All of us together agree. We need the Lord. We need the Lord so bad that we don't even know that we need the Lord. That's how bad we need the Lord. May God help us, eh? All of us. We're the church, eh? I was talking to my friend Timo, and he says he's so sad. He cries when he prays with me. Timo, he cries, man. I run across some really nice people, man. He's weeping. You know what he's weeping for? He says he's never seen our Wednesday night prayer meeting. He says he's never been to, it's been a long time that people will really pray. The church is really gone on something's wrong in the prayer. My house will be called And you've made it a den of thieves. I'm serious. Something's wrong, man. We all, and it's not just that the church, it's me. It's my problem. God is telling me, don't throw mud at anybody. It's you. It's you. Last night, you know what he said to me, Steve? I'm sitting down, I'm doing my thing. I'm telling you, man, this is heavy. This is heavy. God is saying every amount of time I give you, every amount of time I give you, use it for me. Be with me. Be with me, because there will be a time I will come down. I will come down. Use it for me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing my sermon, and you know what? I click on a TV, and I watch a program. I can hear the Lord tell me, shut it off! And I said, I don't want you. And you see how my message? You do what you don't want to do. I didn't want you. And God is really convicting me, really heavy. And he's saying to me, the Spirit of God is not just you who you're talking to. It's you too, Miles. You've got to be convicted so that you change. You change. See the difference? If it's from the Spirit, you change. You change. If it's not from the Spirit, you stay the same. And it's got to come from the Spirit. This is what I want. And there are people in this church that want this. We all want this. This is not a game right now. We're fighting for the whole church, for people, for the next generation. And Timo started weeping because the next generation that comes up that have kids and everything, I don't know where they're going to be. We're fighting for it. I'm fighting for it as a pastor now. This is not a joke. Devil's setting up a scheme, cooking us. And all of us have to now start to say, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bring God down. Amen? Bring God down. Like you said on Friday, that was God. Bring him down, but not just little droplets. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out. Amen? Pour it out, Lord. Change me. Change me. I can point fingers at everybody. Yeah, man. And God is saying, no more pointing fingers. Look at yourself. Really look at yourself. And I can only do it through the Spirit. This is not a message to hurt you. This is a message for me, man. For all of us in this room. This is really heavy. God really wants us to really go for it. You know? Listen, the next agreement is with God. Do you know what the next agreement, where God will come? In power. And I believe it with all my heart. And I already have a church. God has blessed me with this church. This church, they love each other. I can't believe it. You think a man can do that? This is the type of church I'm pastoring. It's worth the 15 years in the battlefield to see something like this, man, that people love each other. Thanks, Steve. You think that this is normal? This is not normal. And it's going to get heavy. We're going to all pray together. We're all going to do it together. Every one of us. And here's where real power comes. The next agreement is this one. Agreeing with each other. Where all of us in our hearts are agreeing. That when you pray, Steve, I'm in agreement with you. When Diana was praying up here, we were all, was your mind in 50,000 places? Or were you agreeing with her? See, this is important because God is looking at everybody's heart in this place and he's seeing, is there unity here? Is there unity? Do we have unity? Are you in agreement with the person who prays, whoever it may be? Are you in agreement to listen? When you were talking to me, sister, you know what? I'm going to tell you, you know what God said to me? And I was busy. I'm not joking, man. I'm doing my thing. God speaks to me all the time. And I'm doing my thing and she's talking, eh? And I could hear God say, you pay attention to your sister. You pay attention to your sister. Forget about the communion. And I'm still doing the communion, but I'm listening. I'm paying attention. And you know why God said this? For this message. Agreement is that I would honor and be considerate to the person who's talking to me. I listen. Is everybody hearing me on this one? This is important that we are unified Because when God sees unity, he brings his power. He pours it out. And that's what he's looking for. Not for people to be all over the map, but to be unified. Agreement. We're in it together. Amen? We're in it together, man. I have a church. I'm in a church that is really like that. If I'm telling you, it's such a wonderful thing to know. But we have to go one step further. We have to go into our hearts and we have to say, no, I'm not going to wander with my mind. I'm going to agree. Whoever's praying, whatever anybody's doing, I'm going to pay attention. A unity. You know how hard that is? To really listen to somebody? I can listen to you, but I can fake it. I can fake it. I can pretend I'm listening to you. I'm good at it, too. I really am. I'm a pastor, man. I can pretend I'm listening to you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. But I'm not even listening. I'm just hearing. And that is that's so disunity, it's not funny. It's just self, me. I got to get my opinion in. I'll tell you, this is where it gets real heavy. Me and my wife, she'll be telling me stuff, and I'll already have an answer for her. I'm just ready to let her fly with the Bible. And you know what God's saying to me now? That's not unity in your marriage. Start listening. Is everybody listening to me? No, I'm just joking. But it's true. It is really true what I'm saying. Unity is so simple, but it's so profound. Imagine if we all agree. Imagine. And not talk about each other. What would happen? What would happen? God would come. He said so. I will come if you're unified. May God help us all, man. And you know what? Truthfully, look at how important this is. Hey, check this out. I can't believe it. Just check this out. Paul puts it in the scriptures. This squabble with these two people. Why? Why did he put it in the scriptures when he squabbled? Because it's so important with agreement and unity. Look what he says. I plead with you. I plead with you, Euda, and I plead with Syntyche to what? Agree with each other in the Lord. Hey, isn't that amazing? That he would put it in the Bible. It never really hit me. It never dawned on me. Why would he put two people in the Bible? Why didn't he just, in the Bible? That's in the Bible forever. That's the scriptures. I don't think you see what I'm trying to say. That's heavy. That's how important unity is. To agree with each other. Heavy? And then he doesn't just stop there. He goes, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women. Help them. Help them agree. Who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Amazing. Isn't it amazing how important this is? Oh, it's so amazing, friends. So amazing. You know what I really want to say to you is this. If there is anything in your heart towards anyone in this church or anyone outside this church in another church, I would say to you today, you need to get it right because you block the power of the Spirit in answer to prayer. This is the truth. And when people say, it takes time for me to forgive, no, it doesn't take any time. It's a choice. It takes time for that feeling to go away, but it's a choice to forgive a person. And I'm going to tell you, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. It is so vitally important that all of us understand that prayer, if we're going to raise a house of prayer, our hearts are so pure towards each other. I'm not joking. And I'll say it again, like I said last Sunday. And I said it to my sister. When she had something against me, I didn't preach. I didn't preach. And God lined it up where she came forward and made me get it right with her. Am I correct, Janelle? Get it right. And this is for everybody. that if it's in your heart and you have something against anybody in this church or outside, it needs to be cleared up. Confess your sin, and then God will forgive you, and then he will what? Purify you. But that can't keep going on. Is everybody with me? You need to get that right between you and the Lord and then with that person immediately. Because you block the prayers of the church, the house of prayer for the church. Okay? So this is very, very important, friends. Agreeing with each other is when we live a life of forgiveness, forgiving each other from our hearts, no matter what it is. Okay? Unforgiveness, here, this is my point. Unforgiveness hinders answered prayer. Unforgiveness is a hindrance to answered prayer. I really believe this. And I don't know where anybody is with this because I don't know anybody's heart. But when you do not forgive, you hinder answered prayer in the whole church. It blocks it. I'm convinced with this. Is everybody hearing me? This is very, very important principle. To really forgive whoever it may be. This is how important it is. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, it will be yours. And look at what he adds on. And, it's an adjoining word, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This is the condition of answered prayer. And if our prayers are not being answered, truthfully, we have to look at our own hearts and say, what am I doing wrong? Then everybody is responsible between God and you. And if all of us do this together and we're all clean and pure in heart and we start to pray, God comes. God answers our prayers. How many people would believe that? I'm just taking it face value at the scriptures. I'm just saying what Jesus is saying. This is an important thing. And you know what? You know how many people are in the mental institution because of unforgiveness? It's incredible. It'll blow your mind how bitter they are. That's what makes mental, you get crazy. And a person, listen, I've been around some very godly and holy men that are in heaven. And you know what? You know why they're so holy and godly? They were forgiving people. Not because they're holy. They were forgiving. They were compassionate. That's what made them holy. They were like Jesus. Is everybody with me? I want to be like that. I want to be forgiving. I want to be compassionate. I want to be able to stretch out my hand even when something really bad I hear about myself, they say. I want to forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Hey, you want to be like that? You want to be holy? That's holiness. That's holiness. Holiness is not something you do. Holiness is forgiveness, offering it. Look at this. If I had cherished sin in my heart, unforgiveness, the Lord would not have listened to me. You wonder why we don't get our prayers heard. This is a very important principle, I'm saying. Because our whole church is going to be a house of prayer. Correct? Amen? We're moving in this direction. Now, all we have to do is make sure that we get clean our hearts, clean it. Make sure. Once we do, God will hear our prayers. Amen? It's a simple principle. And I can't tell you, I'm just responsible for myself. But I am responsible. I remember, I'm with Colin. I'm serious. This is true. We're having your birthday thing and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I start giving my opinion. And you know, and he's talking. And I could just feel God say, you tell him that's vain conceit. You're speaking out of vain conceit. I said, what? Yeah, that's vain conceit. You're just trying to tell him just to make yourself look good. And I just told him that. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, do not give excuses. Confess it. And it gives you more power with them. Everybody with me? You know the last thing of agreement? The last one is we agree with each other in. Because when you agree with each other, you can agree with each other in prayer. That's the key. You can't agree with each other in prayer if you're not in agreement with each other. It doesn't make sense. And I'm telling you, man, if you look at Jesus' prayer in John 17, it'll freak you out. His whole prayer was unity. His whole prayer. Unify. Not to hurt the body. Don't hurt the body. Don't hurt the body. Incredible. I want to go real fast because I want to really get into this. I want to do something with everybody today. I want to show you something. These words here. Agreeing with each other in prayer. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now this is what I want to really emphasize. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, he says it again. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. This is the words of authority by Christ. This is his authority, Jesus' authority. When he has given the whole church, not one person, not a pastor, not some hotshot there, he's given the whole church authority. Okay? And he has given us keys. He's given us authority, his own name, Jesus' name. Okay? So, we have authority. Am I correct? Okay, so I've been telling you how we don't block them. So all of us have authority. We're all interconnected, every one of us. Okay, everybody's connected, correct? So what does it mean? Here it is. This is my message. This is how I'm going to apply this thing. What does it mean when he says bind and loosen? What are we binding? What are we loosening? Okay, that's where I'm going with this thing, because we have authority. And before I do it, church, if you have anything, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a time maybe to be free, truthfully, because the church has authority. So here it is. This one here, unity in the church. There, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father. Unity in the church. When we're unified, God will do it. That's his words, not mine. He said so. Okay? It's not a joke either. There are people in such bondage, such wicked bondage, that they need the church to be set free. Not a joke. And then the other one is this. Unity brings God's presence. That's what he does. And we need to be unified. If I ever can plead with everybody, be unified. Don't think anything bad. If you've got bad rottenness in your heart, confess it. Here it is. This is it. This is what we bind. I want to go through it with everybody. Please follow this. It took me a while to put this up. I want you to, I'm trying to help the church. If I have authority and you have authority, right? Bind, what do we bind? Fear, what do we bind? Poverty, what do we bind? Violence. Is anything in here in your heart? Right now, when I'm reading it out, anything in your heart that needs to be bound, like where in the name of Jesus we bind it, where it's out of control. What is it? Sickness, deception, darkness, but usually fear, worry, deception, bondage, confusion, foolishness, unbelief, hate, unforgiveness. Is there anything here that needs to be bound? I'm talking in the name of Jesus. Because right now, we're going to do it. If you have something in your heart that needs to be bound, it's out of control. It's out of control, and you know it. Now, I can't, like I said, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't bug you, and I'm not going to bug you. But if you have something in these things here, fear, poverty, violence, sickness, deception, darkness, any of those, then you know what we're going to do? This is what we're going to do. You're going to come forward, and just you coming forward, and we're just going to pray here, and I want to see if God will set us free. I want to see if God will set us free. I do. I really do. I have things in my life, but I'm the pastor, so I can't really be talking about it. I just want to help the church. Is there anything that needs to be bound, and then what's loosened to get that? So you bind the enemy in your life, whatever it is, and you loosen the power of the Spirit in your life. And God can do that. And this is what we're dealing with right now. Because if it's true, but before we do it, I need to make sure, I've got it up there, that I'm going to give you a time to pray. And if you've got stuff that you have really bad, you know, like there's a lot of stuff there in the heart, then I'm going to give you time to pray. Because if we're blocking the Spirit in any way, He's not going to hear it. So I just want you, if you're blocking the Spirit in any way, please have pity on other people and confess. If you are. If you're not, leave it. But if there's something wrong, I want you to confess it. And then after you confess it, I'll just give you about five minutes or something. And if nobody confesses, that's okay too. I'm not going to put any pressure. But if you have something that's in your heart and can block God from answering prayer, then there's a problem. Because you're hurting the church. Am I correct? So I'm just going to give you time, 5 minutes. After that, if you have a problem, fear, worry, some sin in your life, something that you can't get rid of, then you come up, we're going to pray, and it's going to be gone in Jesus' name. That's our authority. But I can't do it until we're cleansed or it blocks. I'm not saying it anymore. Let's pray. You got anything in your heart? Confess it.
Treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart.